Hello, welcome to Made in the 80s, podcast about the 80s by people who are made in the 80s. I'm your host, Shalia, and tonight we have...
Kendon.
And...
And Tim.
And we are the Three Musketeers, all alone today, no guests.
No guests.
No expected guests, at least. We'll see if anyone wants to drop by.
We did have a little guest earlier.
He didn't get to stay. He didn't pass the age limit. Okay, so tonight, what are we talking about?
Oh, the 1985 Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Commando.
Commando.
Commando. Not wearing underwear. Not that Commando. That's called
when you're going Commando.
Underwear. Going Commando. This is not. It's not about Schwarzenegger not wearing underwear around.
He does wear underwear. He wears some Speedos.
He wears underwear.
We get to see them.
You guys were saying earlier, this is the first time you both have seen this movie.
We think so. I thought I had seen it, but a lot of it takes place in the United States, and I didn't realize that. I think I was mixing it up with Predator.
I think I might have partially been doing that too. Even though I'd seen Predator several times, I don't know about this one.
Schwarzenegger had a really good action movie run. This wasn't peak Schwarzenegger. But this was definitely when he was on his upswing. So this is bonkers opening.
It's very 80s, though.
Yeah, very 80s. So the plot is essentially Arnold plays a guy named John Matrix, who's an ex special force captain guy.
Can we pause for that name just one more time?
John Matrix. It's such an 80s name. So anyway, so he someone's tracking down his old group of people and murdering them. And they come to get John Matrix, who fights him off, but they kidnap his daughter, played by a very young Alyssa Milano. And he ends up teaming up with Raydon Chong, one of my 1980s crushes, one of my 80s bays. And they go after his daughter, and he has like a time limit because they think he's on this flight, but he escapes the flight very much like Wesley Snipes in Passion 57. And so then he has to get to, were they in Miami? They're in like South Florida. He has to get to whatever city they're in enough time to save his daughter from these bad guys who want to kill him. It's a trade-off, right?
They want him to kill somebody else. They make him go on this mission and say, you got to go kill this guy who's a friend of yours who trusts you. And if you don't do it, then we're going to kill your daughter.
But they're going to kill his daughter anyway.
That's what he thinks.
They're going to kill him anyway. But they are, because the guy says that. The guy says, at one point in the end, he's like, oh, we're going to, he thinks we're going to save him, but we're not. They're going to kill everybody.
So, yeah. And so that's the plot. And basically... the movie is Arnold Schwarzenegger, action hero.
He spends 70 minutes just hunting people down. Mm-hmm. 70 of the 90.
Well, hunting people down and shooting and killing them.
Shooting and murdering.
There are long scenes where there's no speaking, just explosions.
And it's such an 80s trope to be, our hero is someone who's murdering people and we're supposed to cheer them on.
That's it's very clear bad guys, too, is an 80s very thing. Clear. Like, Kenan, you really like... movies or shows that have this complex bad person character or antagonist who has this back plot and all that interesting thing. This is one of the examples of they don't take any time to give you any back plot. This is just bad guy.
Yeah, he's wearing a chain link tank top. That's enough to tell me you're a bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy and all the people who work for the bad guy.
Okay.
And he gets taken out so swiftly too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the setup. So the film starts with a trash truck, garbage truck.
This opening is insane.
Yeah, truck driving down the street.
It's insane.
On a morning.
It's insane for a lot of reasons. Because if their intent is to murder people, this is it's a high level of difficulty to do this. You're expecting you're gonna show up, honk your horn, and you're expecting he's got to come out, take out his trash, and then you murder him. That's the plan.
It worked.
And even here with Bill Duke. His plan is to steal a car and run the guy over at a dealership. The only one is the third one, which is way more efficient, where they blow the guy's boat up. That
and
makes
who are
sense.
These guys that they're trying to kill?
His ex.
Or who are these guys that they are killing?
The people that used to be on his team.
His ex squad mates.
Yeah. His ex squad. That's the.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger, there's two main bad guys in this movie. There is the boss of this crime syndicate, who plays by the dad in Clueless.
Yeah.
And then there is Arnold Schwarzenegger's ex teammate, his buddy, who I think maybe he cut or something. He's getting revenge on all of their old teammates. Yeah. So
he's
killing.
More like the henchman.
Yeah.
He said he's working for the other bad guy, but this is like he's the real antagonist in terms of like
he said he would do it for free.
Right.
He hates Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I did it for free.
So in the beginning of this film, we have a couple of murders that we see by this group, and the people who are being murdered are people who were battle buddies with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the other bad guy.
And this, the way it's set up is all these murders happen, right? We got the this is ridiculous. We got the garbage men. We've got the car getting run over at the dealership. You get the guy blown up on this little sea boat. And so when we're introduced to Arnold Schwarzenegger, all you see is the shadow coming up behind him. You're like, oh my God. And then it ends up being his daughter. And it's this whole, and we talked about this before we recorded, right? It's this ridiculous montage of him and his daughter hanging out.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to talk about that so bad.
It keeps going and it gets more and more ridiculous.
It's one of those where like, so 80s montage, yes. But first of all, it's very early in the film to be doing it.
Super early.
Let's introduce you to how happy his life is. Like the minute you see Sam from Who's the Boss, Alyssa Milano, it's the minute you see her show up and you're like, oh man, like something's happening to the kid. That's going to be the thing.
Especially when they don't show a mom.
No mention of a mom. Yeah, it was weird. But like, and then the scene itself is hilarious because it's just like he's so happy. It was like kindergarten cop Schwarzenegger, just like so happy, loving his daughter. They're doing, there's cheesing.
He gets on his knees and like feeds a deer.
Yes, they're feeding a deer.
It goes
like,
so far.
And it lasts a long time. You're like, wait, is this really happening? Yes, right. And it's still going. It was nice. It was very peaceful and wonderful in the forest where they live in like a cabin kind of secluded.
In the middle of nowhere.
It was making me think of Hannah. Did you guys see Hannah?
Yes, very much like Hannah. Because he's training her at one point. To like destroy other kids in middle school.
We have no idea if she goes to school.
She is. She's like kicking people's ass in school. He's teaching her like some tough stuff.
Yeah. And he's a tough guy. Introduction to Arnold is, it's before the montage, and he is carrying, he just cut down a tree, and he's carrying the tree trunk over his shoulder and all of his muscles bulging in his arms so we can see what guns he has.
This is like a GOP wet dream, this whole movie.
Yeah.
It's a manly American man. He knows he's not American. He's ex-military. He's cutting his own wood. He lives by his own rules. He's got a gajillion guns, and the only way to solve the crime is to use his Second Amendment right to hunt people down and save his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's one of those where I wonder how it all works out. I mean, the reason it all works out in the end is because before he goes to hunt down his daughter, the military comes to him and says, hey, we need your help with this.
Right.
And they're there when the bad guys come and actually attack some of the military people and kill them. And he survives, but they still... Well, no, he doesn't. They kidnap both him and his daughter.
But the weird thing is, she alludes to him not leaving again as if, like, it's a thing that he does often. She's like, don't leave again. He's like, I won't do it.
Well, my impression, and they don't mention the mom as far as I heard or noticed, but my impression was that he was a military dad. So he was gone a lot. And then when the mom passed away or whatever happened with the mom, now he is the parent. So he's home now taking care of her.
She didn't know that.
Kids remember that. She's pretty old. She's in her teens.
She's at least 12, right?
Yeah. She is. She's old enough to know when her dad was... And like going on missions.
Right.
I think it could have been at least 5 years that they've been there together, but or less.
And they're living like the American dream. They're fishing in streams. This is ridiculous.
It looks wonderful. And it's a fun way to have this opening credits go because you have to have the credits, but you're also getting to watch something that is really fun. Like it looks like it kind of reminds me of like Laverne and Shirley opening. Right. Like here's our ice cream, eating our ice cream. Now we're fishing and
the whole intro is essentially building the story. It's the murders and then it's him spending time with his daughter.
Yeah.
So you get a sense that he's bonded with his daughter and he cares what happens to her. So when he goes on this murderous rampage and kills 300 people, it makes sense. It makes sense. It makes sense to why he's doing it.
I think it would have made sense even without showing us all of this, but this makes you, like, for me, it makes me more into it. Like, it makes me invested. You could be walking around saying they took my daughter, but by me seeing how much you love your daughter and it's, I mean, Alyssa Milano, I don't know as an adult, like, how much we would be best friends, but Sam and this kid, like, Alyssa Milano as a kid, like, I like her. I want to be her friend and hang out with her. She's awesome. So I can see why he would be trying to save this kid.
And also towards the end, you know, when she's used some of whatever her dad's taught her to sort of help towards the end of the movie.
Yes, not like a helpless damsel. Like she's working on getting out the whole time. She's
trying to get out.
So, okay. So I was getting to this earlier, but one of the things is, you know, you guys were talking about Second Amendment, yeah. And I'm blowing all these things up. I'm killing all these people to save my daughter. And my thought was, like, you're making a big mess. And in the end, like, you're going to get in trouble for all of this. I would think you're stealing a lot of cars. You're doing a lot of things. Like, no, he's murder. Not. He's not going to get in trouble because it's, like, sanctioned by the military, right? No. They showed up and asked for his help. So he's technically just accepted the mission. And they show up at the end, too, like, good job, soldier. We'll call you, and you again.
So if the military did all that damage, wouldn't they have to pay some sort of cost?
Because the guy says at the end, he's like, you leave any for us? He was like, just the bodies.
Yeah.
Or something creepy.
But I think, like, if there was a terrorist attack and the military was responding, I think they could be taking vehicles or whatever they needed to do. Mm-hmm. I think they would be able to, like, in the course of duty type of thing, like, you'd be covered. At least you wouldn't, as an individual person, have to respond to everything you did. You'd have the military to represent you on it.
Can we talk about Red Dawn, Chong?
Yeah, I guess so. Are we ready?
Just because everything we're talking about is serious, but her whole performance is so silly.
It's stupid.
And, like, over the top. She's like,
I was wondering.
Oh,
like,
my God.
No, it's ridiculous.
At some point, like, why was she there all the time? And then by the end, I realized, oh, she needs to be here so she can fly the plane. Like, for a lot of the middle of the movie, she had no purpose.
Because she's going to leave at one point. He's like, I'm all without you. And she shows up like, I'm going to help you find your daughter. She's somehow invested in this guy.
I'm shaking my head. So he kidnaps her. Arnold Schwarzenegger sees the one of the bad guys take an interest in her, and he needs to follow that bad guy. So he has her. He kidnaps her and has her drive and follow this guy
To another meeting at a mall.
Yeah, it's so like they end up at
like
a mall.
It's like a bar inside of a mall.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, so all this stuff happens, but like at the end of it, he's about to leave again, and she's like, "Not without me!" And she jumps in, and then she's screaming again, and like, "Oh, what? Watch out!" And talking to him, it's just like, you jumped in the car yourself, girl.
She's in a
stop
different
it.
Movie.
You don't need to be here. You can get out. You don't have to go along.
She's in like Mannequin or some other silly, goofy 80s movie. She's in a different movie because she's over the top silly. No other character in
like
this
comic
movie.
Comic relief level.
Like, annoyingly over the top.
I hated her. Like, she made me so angry. And I like her. Like, I like the actress. I think she's gorgeous. I like her, but this character pissed me off.
And when she grabs the rocket launcher.
That was funny. I did laugh at that.
Like, that's so reckless. Why would
it's
you
reckless.
Use that thing?
And then, well,
and you can't hold it.
You can't hold it. But I did like, so this movie had so many one-liners. And that was one of them of, I read, how'd you learn to do that? I read the manual.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so this person who you decided to help just got taken away by the police in the back of a police van, car, whatever. Yeah.
Like a paddy wagon.
So you shot it? Like, how did you know he was going to survive
rocket launcher.
You shot a rocket launcher at it.
Straight, and then the van has to turn so it can hit it on the side. Otherwise, she just shot the guy that she's trying to save.
Exactly.
Like the whole structure of the scene doesn't
make
sense.
No, it doesn't
make
any sense. Like, you don't, I get you're trying to stop the vehicle, but you're really gambling that he doesn't die as well. Anyway, that was.
It also reminded me a little bit of the Joker. Seemed kind of like a Joker move.
Yes. Very much so.
So, but it is, I mean, she is helpful when she flies the plane and she calls the military when he's, so she does end up helping him some. And you also needed, she was like a, is it a trope when you have this like useless woman just screaming?
Yep.
What's the name of the trope?
There is a trope for it.
Probably two or three.
Yeah. It's definitely a trope, especially in the 80s.
Right.
They weren't really giving women much agency outside of like being attractive. Wow, these guys are terrible. What I don't understand is they need him for a mission. Like they were going to just murder him just then.
Okay, so we're watching the show and we are 12 minutes in.
So 12 minutes in is when the bad guys show up at the cabin. So if they need him for a mission, like why do they show up like guns blazing?
I didn't get the impression they were actually trying to get him. They were killing all the other soldiers around
who are useless.
Yeah. Well, they were surprised. They thought
you're a soldier. You were surprised?
Yeah, they're out in the middle of nowhere. No one knew they were heading out there.
But you know that you're there to protect them.
The fact that they're there indicates that they should be ready for something.
They're not there to protect them. They're there to like bring him in, right? He left the life, and so they went to go get him and bring him back in.
They're there to protect. What was that officer who was there?
I did not.
Who came to ask
the, him? The guy with the beret on. Yeah,
the they were protecting him?
Yeah, he has like an escort.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, so they didn't. There was a couple guys who showed up to talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They're in uniform and armed, and they should be ready.
Ready for an ambush. Yeah. But they weren't. No. It happens. Okay, so after that part, we end up having both dad and daughter kidnapped. Daughter is held hostage while dad is sent to kill his friend. So the setup for the bad guys, and this is, I love this in terms of time period and where we were then and how it could not work now. So wherever they were, Panama, they were going somewhere and it was an 11-hour flight.
Right.
And so the plan for the bad guys was that one of them was going to stay at the airport, at the gate. He walked into the gate, which you can't do anymore.
Yeah.
But watch the plane take off and then confirm that it did take off. And then another guy flew with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And when they land, he's going to call or they're going to confirm that he is there. So that was the plan.
It's a smart bad guy move.
Yeah.
Except for you should always just double up on whatever your first number is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad
plan. Although he would have just broke two necks, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't work because he gets on the plane with his escort and breaks his neck and then jumps off the plane without the other bad guy seeing it.
He says, don't wake him. He's dead tired.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He asks for a blanket and a pillow, which is kind of funny. Like, excuse me, because he's like this like big, tough guy and he asks for a blanket and a pillow. It's kind of funny. And then he, breaks the guy's neck and then covers his face with his hat and puts a pillow and a blanket so it looks like he's sleeping for the whole flight. And he says, don't wake my friend. And then he leaves the plane without the other bad guy seeing it. So the thing that I think is, and this is how we'd have the clock, the countdown of how long he has to get to his child, because they will know when that plane lands that he's not on it.
I liked that as a plot structure.
It is, but here's why it won't work now. It won't work now because you have internet and self-service. You can talk on the phone on planes now. Like, they would have had it set up where you have, like, a check-in every 50. You can't just kill your escort and have 11 hours of no contact. Like, there's no way that would work now.
And also, because these guys are, like, he's facing, they're, like, stormtroopers. And they're, like, Cobra Commanders, little villains. The real villain is time. Like, he's up against the clock. That's the real tough guy. When he gets to the end, there's a big fight. But everything else in between is a race against time.
It's a race against time, but it's also it's like a scavenger hunt having to figure it out, right? He doesn't know where his daughter is, and he has 11 hours to find her. So he gets the first bad guy and finds a key in his pocket to figure out, okay, where's the next meet? And he's like, okay, here's the key to some motel or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's also a scavenger hunt, like figuring out the clues to figure out who's next, because not one of them necessarily knows where she's going to be. They just know who next in the line to.
Right.
So that was kind of cool too.
He's murdering people left and right.
He also says the bad guy that stays at the airport to watch him take off. He makes a comment of raping his daughter while he's away. Schwarzenegger is like, I'm going to kill you. I like you. I'm going to kill you last. So he's one of the first people that he actually gets, and he's holding him. When he finally gets him, he's holding him over the cliff.
With one arm.
And telling me tell me where my daughter is and all that. And he doesn't know or whatever. And he's like, remember when I said I was going to kill you last? I lied. And drops him. It was pretty great.
And she asked him. What is he saying when she asks?
He says, I let him go.
Yeah.
It is the one-liners are amazing. I let him go. So there was that one. There was, what other ones were there?
I couldn't keep track of all of them.
They were so great. And they were just so funny.
And these guys are so ridiculous. Like the guy with the black dude with the balding perm and the crazy get up on the plane is funny. These characters are crazy. The main bad guy is just dressed like he's on a safari. This other muscle guy's got that weird net looking.
Yeah, it's like a chain link.
Thinking of like pro wrestlers.
Yes.
Like, they kind of costumed in that way.
They're all sort of costumed people. And even the little guy looks like a computer, like, I'm the hacker nerd in a weird 80s movie.
Yep, they all have a very distinct look.
Very distinct looks, but they all somehow hang out together.
The one in the chainmetal is funny to me because it's not bulletproof. Like, yeah. I don't think that is. But what it looked to me was like what you use for shark bites. Yeah. That sharks can't bite through, like you can get those bracelets or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're not swimming, you're not gonna get bit by a shark.
And he's got to sleeve this stuff on, but he's not
really. He's probably about being stabbed.
Yeah. He's not really in shape.
Probably.
He's very sleeveless and like the least in shape person in
this movie. This is the battle buddy, the crazy battle buddy who's out for revenge. He's ridiculous. Like you said, you pointed out he's not in shape. So in the very last scene, he's the last of all the bad guys. He's the last to live, and he's going to face off against Arnold. And he is like, I can beat you without my gun. I can beat you without my knife. And he like drops his weapons and like wants to take Arnold. And it's like, you've seen the entire movie how ripped Arnold is. And this guy is not. Like, he might be strong, he's not. And he's been sleeveless the whole time. So we know what he looks like. It doesn't make any sense.
Man, they put a knife to his daughter's throat. I forgot about that.
Yeah, his daughter is, I think 12 is probably a good descriptor of her.
They like wheel her out. She's all bound up and he puts a knife to her neck like, I'll kill your daughter.
We are 18 minutes in.
So 18 minutes in and a 90 minute movie and we've already gotten Arnold. This is the plot, essentially.
What is the plot?
This is it. We know what's happening.
Yeah, and from here on out
we kind of have an idea.
Well, kind of. Yeah, for him here, we know it's a rescue, but we don't quite yet. Because at least for me, we get to the airport, he gets on the plane. When they were closing the door to the plane, I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? How's this going to work? Plane? Well, yeah. I didn't think he was getting off the plane. Like, I thought he was going. When he said how long? Yeah, I was like, wow, 11 hours.
So you got to make it back from Panama to like.
So yeah, I didn't understand the plot until he killed the guy next to him and got off the plane. Then I understood, oh, this is what's happening. We have 11 hours to do it. But I did not know until then, which is still probably at least 5 minutes away.
Yeah, and absolute pretty fun Bill Duke performance. Bill Duke is the black guy in the suit.
Yeah. He,
Where else is he in?
He was in Miss Society.
He's just one of those, like, that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah.
But they have a crazy fight scene in the hotel.
Yeah, they
it's
do.
It's insane. It's like, it's almost They Live. You guys ever seen They Live?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
no,
man.
That's on the list.
They Live has an alley fight between Roddy Piper and, what's my man from The Thing? What's his name? What's his name? The black dude.
Keith David?
Keith David. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They fight in the alley for what feels like 20 minutes. It's a long fight sequence. This isn't as long, but it's as brutal just watching these two guys push each other through walls and like, and he ends up what, getting stabbed through the heart, like a broken table leg or something.
Yeah, I mean, because you see him fall back.
Yeah.
And by the time, like, he's but impaled
like,
on
like,
something.
It like impales him, yeah. Like Fright Night level impalement.
Yes. So that guy and then the battle buddy also dies that way.
But he has another one-liner and he hits him with the pipe.
Yes. Do you remember it?
Some let off some steam.
Yep. So the pipe.
Let off some steam.
Yeah, this like big old pipe goes through his body, but it's like a steam pipe. So the steam is coming out of the pipe through his body. And yeah, he's like,
how? I yelled at the screen at that point.
It was.
How strong do you have to be to do that?
Arnold's
strong. I don't even know if it's the strength. Like, he throws it straight like a javelin.
He
like straight through the guy's chest. That looks like it's more difficult than just the strength.
Well, yeah, so it throws it through the chest, but yeah, strong enough to go through the body and through
the metal behind it
that is holding steam that then shoots through him. And do you think that it was the metal going through his body or the heat of the steam through that metal that
you have a science how this happened?
I wondered. Yeah. I was like, because he doesn't die right away; he kind of dies slowly. I was like, I think it's the heating, the vent killing him.
This was supposed to be. He's like, he's pinned up against it.
Yeah.
That's a horrible way to die.
Yeah.
But it was quick. It seemed pretty quick.
No, it was not quick.
Oh.
No.
That's probably, you can linger for a while.
Like, first it's like drowning when you know what's happening.
Oh, that sounds
awful. Or, you know what I mean? That's, I guess, what I'm thinking about.
Like, no one notices this guy getting murdered in the, on the plane?
So, minute 22 is where we're at, and this is when the guy with we've the, learned with the that Arnold has killed. A plan.
Yeah. Black dude with the perm gets killed on the plane.
Violently, but quietly.
Violently.
He breaks his neck. Like
no, he elbows him first.
Yes, he does. And then you like, he straight, like, elbows is just, like, one thing, of, and then breaks his neck, just snaps it. It's like smooth, quiet,
and the lady in front of him, she's asleep. He's getting a nap.
The guy in the front, too.
Yeah. They have no idea it's happening.
I think they're very exhausted. This is what it looks like.
Maybe it's a long flight to Panama. Yeah.
Well, they haven't even taken off yet.
They haven't taken off yet, no.
Yeah, but they're in first class. They already had their warm towel.
I thought she had had a couple drinks because her eyes were droopy from like, the very beginning.
She's liquored up. He's just worn out from a long night of strip clubs. I get it. Makes sense. Wow. Wow. This movie's crazy.
So we talked about the like having this female lead who's extremely useless and stupid. But well, the thing that I did appreciate about her is that at least the black, like the girl is a black girl as the lead.
Yeah.
Which
was rare for the 1980s.
That's what I was going to ask. So for 1985, that's mid-80s. How, like...
It was rare.
Is it rare at that point? It's rare now.
It was definitely rare then. I can't think of another 80s movie that had a black woman as a lead. But no, it's funny. They don't outright make her a romantic lead for him.
Not yet.
They don't. Do yeah, really
they
do.
Yeah, they do.
When, at the end. When they're getting on the plane?
Yes.
At the end of the movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, but none of that's in actually in the story. It just, at the end, it's kind of like, oh, we're going to be together.
Well, yeah, because they only have 11 hours. He's focused on his kid. And once his kid is safe, then he's like,
it isn't one of those like, movies where it's like mommy. 2 or 3 days and they've got a lot of downtime.
Yeah, no. Hook up.
They're not sleeping. They're not even taking naps. They're just... I mean, maybe they had sex in the plane. Oh, so...
She just throws that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they joined the Mile High Club.
So he escaped through the cargo.
Yes, so...
23 minutes in, he's escaping through the cargo.
Yeah.
He's like a... He rips through with his hands. He's such a ridiculous monster.
And I was... Did he rip that little hole off for his head, too? I feel like he didn't.
I think that's where he got his hands in and then broke from there.
Question for you both. Is it physically possible to escape a plane this way?
No idea.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Why not?
It hasn't taken off yet. It's speeding down the runway. You go through the cargo hatch.
Why not?
You get out on the wheels of the plane as it's starting to take flight. Like, that plane's going fast.
I mean, we've seen movies where people do the opposite.
Yeah.
Like they're in a vehicle and they go up through the car. I mean, so I think it's possible in terms of like moving through a plane to do it. What I don't think is possible is for the cargo door to open like that and the plane not to have like alarms going off and then be like, maybe we shouldn't take off. What's going on? And then, like you said, the plane's going really fast. So he drops, but he drops into water. So he's fine.
So he doesn't survive this unless he jumps off in the swamp. Because if he just...
Yeah. Looks like a doll.
I mean, if he would have jumped sooner, it wouldn't have been as high.
Right, so say the plane doesn't take off, right? And they're just down the runway.
He just landed in all that long grass, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he splashed.
He doesn't survive if he just tried to, like, roll on the runway.
I think he does. I mean, people used to jump off trains and live.
No.
No way.
I really don't think so. I think that plane is going a lot faster than a train.
Before it takes off?
Yes.
I mean, I guess it depends on what point you're at.
Yeah.
But I think you could jump off
a plane. And I don't know that people were jumping on and off of trains when they were at full speed as much as when they were slowing down.
True. So, I know, Tim, you like this movie. Is that still true? Kenan, did you like this movie?
I'd give it a B.
That's not bad.
It's a B. It's ridiculous.
That's solid. I enjoyed it. Like, surprisingly, it was funny. Like, it was ridiculous. I hated the girl, but other than that, I just thought it was really funny. It was fun to watch, for sure.
Yeah.
What I loved in it was, like, you know, opening scene, right, with this trash garbage truck coming down the street. And, like, the first body that you see get shot. It's like old school, like the body moving as the bullets hit it, like back and forth, like
blood explosions.
You know, another movie opened like that was Beverly Hills Cop 2. It opened. You never seen Beverly Hills Cop 2?
I don't remember that.
It opened with a shooting in Beverly Hills.
Okay. And was the body moving like that?
No, I don't get shot like that.
Was it by people who had guns in a garbage truck?
No, they just rolled up on them in Mercedes.
How is that the same?
Because it's a cold open, you see a car coming, you see a guy jogging, they roll up and they shoot him.
Same sort of
cold opening to a movie.
The cold opening here is ridiculous. The cold opening here is a garbage truck coming down the street, like a typical morning. A guy and a wife sleeping, or a partner's in bed sleeping, saying, oh, it's the trash, which happens to me and Kenan all the time. We miss the trash so many mornings because we haven't taken it out yet. And that's what he does. He rolls the trash out like that. And these guys are just standing there, and they have their guns hiding.
But how did they know he was going to do that?
Because it's what happens. Like, it showed very typical. If he didn't
come out, they would go in. Right?
Yeah. They had backup.
Then why the garbage truck?
It makes a better scene.
It was fun.
To show up and kill
him. It's fun, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was great. And he did. He did come out.
Yeah.
Like, so we could say, oh, it was a fluke that it worked. Or we could think that they watch how it happens. And maybe that's what happened. Like, I don't know how long they were watching him. Maybe he does that every week. Mm-hmm. And they always wait for him. Like,
so they come a different day. They think, they must have changed the day. Is what she says when they're in bed. They must have changed the garbage day.
Yeah, and they've seen it before where they honk and let him, I don't know. I mean, it's possible. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a problem with it. I did think it was funny, though, because one of the things I appreciate about this is real effects. We've talked about that from a lot of these 80s films, and this is another one where it's like, yeah, bodies reacting to being shot by just moving back and forth, and how fun this would have been made. Like, how much fun I'm sure they had making this with, like, real-life explosions. There's many parts of, like, just blowing up, but there's one where you've got three pretty big buildings that, like, blow up in succession after Arnold's, like, planted his, was it dynamite?
Yeah.
What was it that he was setting up?
C4 or something.
It was impressive. That was real. Like, we had said the scene looked like it was on set. Mm-hmm. I was watching with Carmé, and it looked like it was on a set. And then, was it Carmé or was it you, Kendon? I think Carmé said it was on the set. And then the blow-ups, like, the explosions start happening, and we're like, oh, that's why. You're going to blow some stuff up. You needed to have kind of an area where you could do that. And it was impressive. Yeah. I was like, people enjoyed themselves making this, I'm sure.
Yeah. This guy really is harassing her in this movie.
Yeah. I do, yeah. So
what guy? What girl?
The creepy guy is harassing Ray Don Chong's character in the parking lot.
Then she starts chasing him.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I knew you would say that.
Doesn't make any sense.
She's in a different movie. She's so ridiculous.
He ripped her seat out,
though. Out of her Porsche. What does she do? Because she has a nice car. Is she supposed to be a flight attendant?
Yeah.
She did look like a flight attendant. That's why she can fly. Or is she a pilot?
No, she's getting her pilot's license.
Right.
With a Porsche?
What?
Why not?
What kind of salary is she making?
Who knows? Maybe her family's rich.
Maybe she's smuggling drugs.
The subplot is she moves.
Coke and blow.
She's moving cocaine.
What is it? Coke and prostitutes?
That's Commando 2. Yeah. Is Ray Don Chong moving cocaine?
No, she doesn't have to now. She's with Commando.
She's with Commando. They can move cocaine together.
No, he doesn't do cocaine. His body's a temple. You saw. He's way too wholesome and earthly. Okay, so...
Oh, he's got the Porsche. She's not a Porsche. She's got an older car. It's him. It's him in the yellow Porsche. That's right. She's got an older red convertible.
So you're okay with it then?
I'm okay now.
Her red convertible is okay.
How did you afford sports?
So they both look the same to me. Like,
yeah. Sport cars. I thought it was an old Porsche. Yeah. Maybe that's what you kept calling it.
But no, it's
Porsche.
Not nice enough.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. So let's start with influences.
Okay.
So, Tim, you've loved this movie. You requested it or recommended it.
Yes.
Tell us what you think in terms of influences.
Oh, yeah. It definitely had an influence on 80s movies, whether it be in movies now. Like, something like John Wick is a straight-up revenge film. And
right.
Just like Commando. Like, this thing happened to me early on in the movie in the first 10 minutes. I'm spending the rest of the film trying to get revenge on these people who wronged me.
And I'm going to kill anyone who gets in my way.
Yeah, everyone dies.
And if you did wrong me, I'm going to kill you.
Just like when he kills Theon Greyjoy, and he just walks up and shoots him.
Shoots him.
And then moves on.
Yeah. There's no big, there's no monologuing, there's no nothing. It's just, you're dead. Mm-hmm. And even at the beginning of the movie, the guy tries to monologue with him in the cabin, and he just shoots him.
Yeah. I like that part.
He just shoots him.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not interested.
He's like, he was giving him, like, their evil plan. He's like, No, I'm not, I have no intention of cooperating with you, so I'm going to shoot you now.
Yeah.
So that's influential?
Of course, because, I mean, I think other action movies have taken this model and maybe remixed it a bit, and, you know, added some, whether it be Taken. Like, Taken's definitely influenced by this.
Oh, yeah. Someone stole my daughter. Yeah. I'm going to find her.
Right? I didn't hear him say I've got a special set of skills.
Right, but you know, I can see someone like someone pitching Taken and being like, it's kind of like Commando, but like we've refined it some, where it's a dad and he has to go overseas and he's trying to get his daughter back. So it definitely has influences, and it's Arnold in his apex run of action movies where he could do no wrong. They gave him a bunch of silly one-liners. The fact that his English wasn't perfect didn't matter. He was a lot of muscle and brawn. He was believable as this like full force of like nature who could like rip seats out of cars and throw pipes through people. Like, it was all believable because it was Arnold.
Except for like now, what I would think of as special forces in the movies is way different.
Way than different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's like he's just so blunt compared to a lot of what you see as like special ops or commandos or whatever in like movies and nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, I think our fighting style has changed. Mm-hmm. Like, the type of confrontations maybe they were getting into in the 80s are different than what the similar type of people that would be filling those roles now are getting into.
I don't think so. I think this is just less accurate.
Yes.
Because the sort of fighting they were getting in was all around South America and Central America and jungles and all that sort of stuff. I don't think they were fighting this way.
No. Not at all. And we weren't really that far out of Vietnam when this stuff was made.
So yeah, well, so when
and
I when
the
I
Cold
was,
War, right?
When I was watching the violence in the movie, it reminds me now kind of how staged the violence in like a movie from the 60s or the 50s looks. Like, it doesn't have the same natural fluidity that or the you know, the movie realism that they go for now.
This movie is extremely violent.
Yeah.
So I have my two like points that stick into my head of like, whoa, violence. First of all, what is this rated?
Also R.
Okay. So I have my two, but I'm curious, Kenan, were there any like specifically violent parts that stuck out to you?
Towards the end, when he's assaulting the mansion, I think he has two assault rifles. And he's like running sideways. And so nobody holds their guns properly in any of these movies, so I'm surprised they're hitting anything. But he's just running back, and people are like spinning like tops. You know the part I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's just running down like 20, 30 guys, and they're just getting shot. Like, it looked kind of like a shooting gallery. Like a cartoon.
With a rose garden.
Cartoonish.
Very cartoonish.
Yeah. Well, and that no one was hitting him. He was hitting others, but there was a lot of people shooting at him, and none of them were hitting him.
Like I said, none of them are holding their weapons correctly.
Right. Well, there we go. That's
why. What's the difference between Eddie's movies and movies now, right? You watch something like John Wick, or you watch something like a Bourne movie where these guys actually get hurt. And our hero moves on and continues his mission, but he's going to get a bullet. He's going to get roughed up. He's going to get a black eye. He's going
to
get
the Die Hard.
Yeah,
Die Hard impact to movies nowadays.
Yeah, you totally.
You want to see your hero kind of beaten up. Like, not always come out pristine looking.
But we had that in this. Like, it was my hardest part was with Sam watching her dad get beat up. Like, I'm just, I can't imagine experiencing that. Like, he gets some good injuries during all this. Not like he comes out completely unscathed.
Right.
So, I think it works for this, too. Any other violent parts kind of that were stuck out for you?
No, I mean, that was the one that kept popping into my head.
Tim, what about you?
When he throws a saw at the guy?
Yes. And scalps him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Super violent.
Like, whoa. Because they show it. They show this guy, like, lose part of the top of his head.
The impaling scene in the hotel fight, where he impales the guy through the table. And the steam Cynthia, that's ridiculous. It's
just, ridiculous.
That? Ridiculous.
So the scalping scene was one of my two. Then the next one, because it was like, whoa. The next one, the other one for me was right after that, and he's like fighting somebody and he chops this guy's arm off, and then there's just blood squirting out the middle of it, just squirting out. I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Like a, yeah, he just cuts it clean off and the artery is just pumping blood out. Artery? Yeah, yeah. Artery. Pretty gross.
Pretty gross.
But I was like, very 80s. Okay, so Kenan, in terms of influences, did you pick up on any here that pertain particularly to you or to society?
I really couldn't say. Because when I saw this movie is clearly at the beginning and also of some trends and also like influenced by some trends. It seems, generic's not the word I really want to say. It's just very much one of those movies.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it influenced or what it was influenced by, but it's definitely of the times. Like it.
Yes. It's typical. Like it is it consistent. It feels very 80s.
Yeah.
So this, I thought it was interesting watching this after Spooky October ending, because one of the common things we kept seeing there was how useless the adults were in those scenarios. Mm-hmm. And in a couple of them, you know, dad's not even in the picture. It's this mom who's useless and dad's not there to protect you. And I said that a couple times. Right. And then in one, the dad is there, but he's not doing anything. He's useless, just like mom. This is the opposite of that, like where you have like super dad who's like, I'm protecting my daughter and not going to let anything happen to her. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny because it's the opposite trope of like, your dad will save you. I don't know if you guys had that. I'm a girl, yeah. So.
No.
I don't know. I thought my mom would save me too. I don't think it's about like having competent parents. Right. And this one is a very competent parent, and the others that we've been watching are extremely incompetent.
Well, and he's single-mindedly focused on just getting his daughter back.
Right.
Yeah.
And this was also, again, during the Cold War, so there was this idea that, like, to show American soldiers and the American military as these strong, super, you know, human beings, mm-hmm. who went out and could do, like, a one-man recognition.
You know what's funny, though?
Right.
He's East German.
Right.
But he's our...
He's our American hero.
He's our American hero.
But in the movie, they say he's from East Germany.
Right.
Yeah, but he's not Russian. Right? That's what we care about.
That's what they care about.
And, I mean, when was Rocky IV?
85. No, 84? 85, yeah.
Rocky
IV was 85.
So, this is like our American version of... Not, I mean, Rocky won in that movie, but... Here's our guy. Like, put those two up against
Russians
each other.
In this movie. Are there?
This movie? No, I'm comparing Arnold Schwarzenegger to...
Ivan Drago?
Yeah, in Rocky IV. Like, if you think about, like, these Russians, like, muscle men, mm-hmm. right? Like, Arnold was our guy. Mm-hmm. One of our guys, but I think it was very, like...
But he's still... I mean, even though he's not from America in this movie, he's still much... Very much his character... The character of John Matrix carries all these American ideals, right? Guns and like he's like the his opening is him living this.
How did he end up with the name John Matrix?
His name is John Matrix. People move. I mean, like, it's not like we didn't have immigration in the 80s. You can still be American.
He changed his name.
Yeah. Like a movie star though.
Was he was he born in East Germany?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, he says when he was growing up in East Germany, the government was worried because rock and roll was introduced.
Yeah.
So maybe he was growing up there because there's a military base there, and his dad was military.
But he cares.
But we wouldn't have military bases in East Germany.
I know.
But at that point in time, 85.
No.
Okay, that's right.
But it carries. He carries all those ideas, right? Cause even the opening, right? It's this American dream of him. He's feeding animals. He's fishing in a stream. He's chopping down his own wood. It's all these things that we.
No, right? I think it definitely.
He carries all that. Even though he's not actually American. And that's part of sort of the
definitely propaganda. It exemplifies it, for sure. Especially if he's coming from a place where we, you know, had an opposing regime and he came here and he became so American. Like, it's sort of propaganda.
Oh, it's very much propaganda. Well, like a lot of movies in the 80s, they were sort of stuffed full with propaganda.
We also have in this movie... Some diversity within the cast.
There is.
So I think it's interesting, right? So we have a potential, you know, immigrant as our main character. We already said we have a black female lead.
Got a couple black men in the movie who show up.
All the bad guys. There's like two of the bad guys are like typical white guys. We've got two black guys. And what is the boss? What's the guy in Clueless dad? Is he just a white guy?
I don't know. He might be Hispanic.
I thought he was supposed to be Hispanic. Looked like they darkened him.
I thought he was supposed to be. I was wondering. Wow. But couldn't tell. So, why not?
Wow.
Like, everyone can be American. It's wow. about what you believe in and your values, yeah. right? And that's part of the American dream is, like, you earn it. And okay. you deserve great things because you have the right values. And
He served. He served in the
military. Oh, absolutely. Right. That, definitely. Too.
I have a question for you, too. If you were to recast this movie in 2018, who are you putting in it?
The Rock.
Who's that's an easy go to.
Okay, I love The Rock.
Who's John Matrix? Who's his daughter? Who's the main bad guy? Not the main bad guy, but the muscle guy. The guy who's be on his team. Who's that person? And who's Ray Dong Chong?
So
Jeremy Renner is one of them.
Jeremy Renner is who? Is he the main kind of muscle guy you have to go up against?
He seems kind of more like the guy who got kicked off the team.
Yeah, but that's from SWAT. Didn't he literally play that role in SWAT?
He put that in SWAT.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
No, The Rock is absolutely not. It's an easy answer because it's the right answer.
No one other than The Rock.
For John Matrix, The Rock is perfect.
Okay, who's his daughter?
I don't know. Some Polynesian actress.
We don't know, like, kid
let's have a Samoan
like
girl.
You know, being very open in 2018, 2017, he could adopt a kid, so he doesn't have to be racially.
Yes, but as a Samoan girl, I would really love to see a Samoan girl.
You can see that you can cast like, Samoan
actually get cast
woman as his wife.
Mm-mm. I think you can't have a wife in this.
Yeah, how much is? Are you planning on changing it?
Yeah,
I mean, we see her. We found out what happened to her in the flashback.
Meh.
Don't need to know.
So, okay, I'm casting Trevante Rhodes from Moonlight as in this character, in this lead role.
Okay.
I'm casting an adopted daughter.
Okay.
Which played who? By Millie Brown from Stranger Things, who plays Eleven.
Okay.
Eleven's in this. I'm casting the female love interest. I don't know yet. I don't know who I would cast a female love interest. It had to be somebody believable who could fly a plane.
Zoe,
I mean,
Saldana.
If you're good enough actress, you can
not Zoe. Not Zoe. Maybe Zoe Kravitz. Maybe that works.
But you see her as a pilot more?
Yeah. You
know. How about Brienne? The girl who plays Brienne? In Game of Thrones. Like, she'd be a much better sidekick.
Christie?
Yeah.
She's too tall.
For him? No, she's not.
For Trevante Rose, she would be.
No.
She's tall. Brienne is tall.
She is tall, but he's tall.
Who is? I think she's taller than him.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. They're not doing that on screen. And I don't know who the bad guy would be.
Well, especially if it's Jeremy Renner. He's not that tall.
So Jeremy Renner's your bad guy.
I think so. Yeah.
No.
To be a physical force against whoever.
Except for that, she did say that they already did it in SWAT.
That's the only reason I say no. Is like,
and also, he'd have to be a physical match for him.
Well, I mean, that's what I was saying. Like, it doesn't have to be an Arnold Schwarzenegger body type. It doesn't have to be a huge.
So you want a smaller lead for the commando lead?
I just want to know whoever can pull off the special forces, like more modern version of the action.
I would make Channing Tatum the bad guy because I love when
Channing Tatum as the bad guy is not a. That's solid. I like that.
Thank you.
C. Tate is the bad guy.
How about John Cena?
John Cena would be Commando. Too... No, John Cena would be Commando for sure.
No, The Rock is Commando.
The Rock is Commando. That's too WWE. But John Cena as Commando actually works. But he's kind of did that already with like 12 rounds, his other crappy movies. But I do like the flip of having him as the bad guy, though.
Channing?
Yeah. Channing or Cena.
Or yeah, Cena as the bad guy would be funny, too. Because I don't think that the recast of this, like the version that we're talking about, I don't think it's going to be as serious. I can't imagine it. Like, even with Taken was very serious. Like, I'm getting
so you think a lot looser of a movie?
I think it's going to be. I don't think, I mean, with like the one-liners and the way that this it plays, I don't think you can do that with a straight face anymore.
And also, I think the technology plays a big part, so the movie would have to flow differently.
Oh, absolutely.
Either you would either have to set it in the 80s or you would have to completely do a workaround for like people having cell phones and people being on camera all the time and people texting and tweeting about seeing John Matrix running around. Yeah, so I think you just have to set it in the '80s. It'd be the same movie, new cast, but set in the '80s.
Yeah, or it's like you said, Kenan, how you don't 90s. Have to be such like a buff like punch fighter, right? You could be a Born Identity, like Matt Damon. You know how to avoid cameras and you know how to slip around and be unseen. So if he's stealthy like that, then it would show how you can get around
this,
today.
Yeah, I think this movie works perfectly now.
Right.
This plot, you can do just as
But how do you do now. The plane thing with them not...
I mean, there's some way.
You ride a boat instead and you have no reception. Call? Or something. I mean, that's the thing is like, for if I were the bad guy and I was sending somebody to go do something,
right.
I would not just be without communication or any way of communicating with my guy for 11 hours. There's no way.
Well, unless there's no option. Like,
right.
Right.
Maybe it should take place in space.
You can communicate in space.
There's, okay.
You do some work around when they don't have cell service.
Yeah, I mean, or he's, you know, this is post 9/11, like, kind of high-tech guy, so he has some way of working around whatever check-in system they have.
Mm-hmm. Or like the guy,
or they're cheap and they don't want to pay for airline communication.
Yeah,
so the bad guys on a budget, just like we're not paying for that.
Yeah,
or they're both going to be like, you know, part of this is they're traveling to the destination as well, and so or to another. They're both sides are traveling, and so it's just being like one side isn't communicating, but the other side isn't really in a part. Like maybe you're, I don't know, on a train underground.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere else, like where like it's double bad reception, so you're not even gonna try.
Gotcha.
Bad reception. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Airplane mode.
All right, sorry, that was my question. I just wanted to know, like, how it would be recast and what it would look like.
So yeah, I think there's lots of options, but
I think they could remake this movie.
Yeah, because it's just a... I mean, I feel like they have. They've already remade this movie several times.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie isn't that different than San Andreas, except for there's bad guys instead of bad weather. So, it's a quote. It's doable.
That's a good, like, poster quote.
Bad guys. It's like Commando. Bad guys instead of bad weather. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They can make this movie. They will make this movie.
But
Let's be honest.
This movie, he doesn't land a plane in the middle of a baseball field like he does in San Andreas.
No, they've landed in the ocean.
No, they landed in this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the ocean. But they landed.
It's a seaplane.
There's no way you'd land in the middle of a baseball field.
Why not?
It's impossible.
Some people can land on a dime.
She can't.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
But The Rock can.
The Rock can. The Rock can do whatever he wants. Yeah.
So, I think that this is influential. Just this genre in general.
Were you guys just talking about this movie, Landing on a Field?
No.
No, San Andreas.
You just cut that whole thing out because I was confused.
In terms of being influential, Kenan and I'm with you in terms of I'm not sure where this is in terms of beginning or middle or, yeah, beginning or just part for the course in terms of lay of the land. This is what they were doing at that time. It's also funny, though, because it is a typical Arnold movie. One of my favorite Arnold movies, and I don't know if it was the first one I ever saw, but it might have been, is True Lies, which is this. His daughter getting kidnapped, him being, like, tough guy, except it's comedy, and his wife is also a part of it, and it's like spy stuff, which is also really funny. It's a great movie. I love it so much. So yes, if him playing Commando and being in this role influenced him then being in True Lies, or I don't like any, like all of his action roles, like that, between that and Kindergarten Cop and Twins, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. So
No Last Action Hero on the list?
I did like Last Action Hero. I did love that movie. There were two of them, weren't there?
No, it was one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was a big bomb. It bombed. It bombed. Movie bombed.
Okay, you're right. So the kid in Last Action Hero was the love interest in My Girl 2. So there's a My Girl too, and he was in it.
Oh, that's
he's the California boy. Okay. No, I love Last Action Figure or Last Action Hero. I thought it was great. It was really fun for me. The kid was, I know it was a bomb, but Arnold Schwarzenegger recently said why it didn't work.
What is that?
Bill Clinton.
What?
Oh, he had another movie.
What, I don't remember what happened. It was, Arnold Schwarzenegger recently said that the reason Last Action Hero bombed was that Clinton was elected and it took over all of the publicity. Something like that.
No, I remember he did another movie called...
Yeah, I swear I heard this on the Slash Film Daily. Like, I've heard it recently. Like, he said it.
He did another thing, another film. Like, it was right after 9/11 about, like, he played, like, a firefighter whose family got killed in a federal building that blew up by terrorists. So this movie's done. 9/11 happens, and they're like, we can't release this movie. So, like, set on it for a while, then finally released it. And it people was too soon. And it was like on the money. Like he's a firefighter. His family gets blown up in a federal building by some like Middle Eastern terrorists.
They're for sure Middle Eastern.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean that sounds like Timothy McVeigh.
No. Yeah, I think that's probably what they were leaning towards. And they said instead of American homegrown terrorists, let's do some Middle Easterns. And then 9/11 happens. And it's, I forgot the name of the movie, but it was like, yeah, it's too soon. Didn't do well.
It's there were quite a few movies that were paused, and probably other things too, mm-hmm. that were paused right after 9/11. I remember like films that had been recorded and they're supposed to be like current day when they're released, and they had to decide whether they were gonna use them or not, or because the World Trade Centers were gone, like the mm-hmm. Twin Towers are gone, and
remember
so
the Spider-Man
like,
trailer.
Yeah, it changed the New York skyline, mm-hmm. and it was like, do we stick with what we had? And this is like, I mean, why would we want to erase history? They were there and we have great footage, but also it's not current day anymore. And it's like one of the things you'll see. I mean, you will, like, we will all notice if they're still standing in this movie. Like, it's alternate universe or something.
There's an easy window there. I mean, if the movies were already made.
They weren't ready for release. Yeah, like,
I think that's still okay.
I just know that there were some that were paused. Like,
people didn't want to be insensitive. Because, I mean, it was a weird time. And I remember the Spider-Man trailer. They changed it because there was a scene in the trailer at the end where he probably still find it on YouTube, where the very, very first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, where he like puts webs in between the Twin Towers and catches the helicopter of bad guys trying to get away. And that was the end of the trailer for the movie, and they ended up cutting it because it had Twin Towers in it.
I mean, if you have the option to cut it,
yeah,
that makes sense.
But if you have the option to, then the question is, like, should you? Like, do you want to or not? Like,
I don't think you should. I mean, that's kind of like letting the terrorists win.
But,
it's like, oh, we destroyed these, and now you're going to start taking them out of your popular culture or this or that.
Yeah.
I understand the sensitivity thing, but at some point you should release those movies.
Yeah.
But also, part of filmmaking is relying on the, like, what is it? Willing suspension of disbelief.
Right.
So if I'm going in to watch this and I am signing over and saying, okay, I'm going into this willing suspension of disbelief, do they really think that their watchers can suspend disbelief if they see the Twin Towers on the screen? Like, we all know that they're not there. Mm-hmm. And unless you're holding it for a while, you're gonna pull me out of my disbelief. Like, it's one of those where it would be pretty hard to make me think to keep me in that world.
You think it takes people out the movie?
Yes, I think emotionally. It could. Not just emotionally, but like your mind, right? Yeah. Like, there's movies that are so great about like you and I feel like superhero movies are good at that. Like, they bring you into this world and you're there and you're experiencing it, and so it really is not just ineffective, but like it's a counterproductive for them to then pull you out by something you just like, that doesn't work. And it happens all the time where something doesn't work and either you catch it or you don't. But I think the Twin Towers is one that it makes sense that they had to like hold things and figure out what they were going to do.
Yeah, they kept that movie too. That movie with Mekhi Phifer mm-hmm. and like that.
Because there was shooting in it.
But because of Columbine,
yeah,
it happened. So they postponed that movie for a while.
Yeah, that was like a remake of Othello.
Yeah.
Was Beyonce in that?
No, she did a Carmen hip opera.
Yes, that's right, the hip opera.
Classic.
Oh, man.
We were just talking before we recorded, we were talking about the new, they're remaking Death Wish with Bruce Willis. And I assume they greenlit this movie when they thought it would be fine to make, but in sort of this new administration we're under and the marches and stuff we've seen, the idea of a vigilante person getting justice on the streets of Chicago may be a little insensitive, and I don't know if audiences are going to be okay with it. Even the, I don't know if you've seen the trailer.
I'm not going.
When we're done watching this, like, watch the trailer, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It just, it doesn't feel right. 4 years ago, maybe I'm like, oh, this is a vigilante movie. Now it's like,
I don't, would it have felt right without Trump?
I mean, I think,
like, under Hillary, would I have still been like, oh yeah, this guy is hunting them down? Well,
I think in practice, no, vigilante justice never works. But I think what we've seen, whether it be, you know, some of the outright people marching and saying we want our country back and these type of things, and, you know, with that woman who got ran over, you know, rest her soul, got ran over at the rally in Charlottesville, like, those type of, that type of speech and those type of actions speak to that, right? And even though this guy is like, you know, wants revenge, getting the streets back, you know, there are people on who believe, not like we believe, who believe, like, acts of violence to get, quote unquote, their country back should be okay.
So I don't know the plot of this story you're talking about, but he is just walking around killing people?
Well, his family gets killed and the police want help, so he goes out in his own vigilante justice, puts on a hoodie, carries a gun, and goes out and is, like, shooting people.
That was a remake.
It's a remake of an old...
I saw the trailer.
Of an old Charles Bronson movie.
I mean,
there's, like, nine of these movies. There's, like, a bunch of death
movies. Were those, like, canon movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, a bunch of
them. I mean, so what's the difference between that and John Wick?
John Wick is not a realized world. It's an underworld of spies, and he's a hitman versus, like, I'm a normal, everyday person whose family was killed, and I'm going to go shoot people. Yeah. John Wick feels very, like, fake because, you know, there's no underworld of coins and hotels and hitmen, right? It feels very much like a video game.
Or, like, yeah, it's like a comic book or something.
It's very comic booky, right? Like Kingsman, very comic booky versus, like, I'm a real person. Right, I mean, I think there's a way to stylize violence in the film that feels less real versus, like there's something about the movie Hostel, because Hostel's no more violent than other horror movies I've seen, but there's something real about the idea of Hostel that's terrifying, which is rich people paying to do whatever they want to poor people. That feels real. And I think that's what jars people when you watch the movie. Because it's no bloodier than Saw, but Saw feels like, oh, a silly guy named Jigsaw who puts these people in these weird traps. That seems goofy and silly, but when you watch something like Hostel, where it's like people are overseas and they've got this whole ring of people who pay thousands of dollars to come and do whatever they want to other humans, seems very real. And that's a little more
dramatic. It's real because that actually happens, and it doesn't have to be what you're talking about, like some secret society. There are people who torture.
Yes.
All over the world.
All over the world.
So you have a historic precedent for people doing that. A lot less for setting up these sort of traps.
Yes, a lot of that for, like, yeah, I have... That seems very Joker-ish, Riddler-ish. Like, yeah. I've got a set of traps that you're in. And even in Jigsaw's case, not to be devil's advocate, like, he's giving these people an out when these traps. There's always an out. You can do this thing, or you can do this thing. And they always... Of course, they're choosing their vanity or whatever over, you know, saving their lives, and that ends up killing them. And that's sort of the point of the whole movie. But yeah, you should watch that Death Wish trailer. I think it's, I don't know if it's not going to get released, but they really dialed back all the promo for it, because I think it got a bad reaction.
I don't really know that we need it.
It got a real bad reaction from people.
Okay, this movie literally may have, the trailer for this may have played in front of Detroit.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Don't take that as 100%, but I'm pretty sure.
No, you know, you might be right.
And I was like, this is very...
problematic in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's not...
I assume it's probably going to get pushed. Or it might just get buried and not really get a lot of promo and just sort of come out. And I think we're going to see more of that with people with a lot of this Weinstein stuff, with more people's projects coming out, either getting shelved or getting buried or not getting a lot of... Because people are going to want to distance themselves from actor A, who's been accused by X amount of women for sexual assault. There's going to be a lot more of these projects. Because, I mean, these things go in development 2 years ago.
How big do you think this is going to go?
Big.
You know, I would agree with you, except for that. There's a lot of money on the line. So they can't start shelving too much stuff.
But something about this feels very different in the sense that, like, people are actually paying attention. Right? Because these stories have been around. Like, the Spacey stuff has been around. You know, the Corey Feldman stuff he talked about has been around. This stuff has been around for years. Even the Cobb stuff has been around for years. Mm-hmm. But something about this feels very different and very immediate, where people, because you're starting to see people, like, they suspended production of House of Cards.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, like, they
pulled... It's done now.
This is last season, yeah.
This last season, yeah. But they suspended production, though. Like, yeah. But first of all, like, it's done now, it's suspended. They pulled Jeremy Piven off some thing he was doing on a late night appearance. They just yanked his appearance. So, and that's something that never happened before, right?
Well, we were getting it. I mean, we got O'Reilly. O'Reilly got fired.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, even pre-Weinstein, like, right. we are finally getting to a point where people are being held accountable.
Right, because no one was ever really, quote-unquote, canceled when these things happened. It was always, like, shame and disgust. Because Cosby still went and toured and did his comedy show. Despite that, he was still going on stage and joking about, don't leave your drink around him. In the midst of all of this, he was doing that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, what's his name? You know, some of these directors, they got to keep making movies. But yeah. What I was telling Kenan earlier is, you know, my friend had a theory that after Weinstein, it's going to be more like about these young people in Hollywood, these people in Hollywood who are pedophiles, and then you're going to see the sexual assault and sexual harassment stretch out to other industries. And his big thing was like women in sports media starting to have a voice about things that happened to them. And constantly
The statistic is like women, like most women have had something happen to them in yes. any profession, in school, in like right. most women that you meet, something has happened. So,
right.
I think that in the entertainment business, you have more of a presence. So if you say something, I mean, people know who this person is.
That's what Kenan said earlier.
So it's popular and it means something to others, but. I mean, for me, it's the fact that some people are starting to be held, like people who used to be able to sweep things under the rug and not have any consequences are being held accountable.
Yeah.
And that's been, you know, like I said, O'Reilly got fired. Like it wasn't so just Weinstein.
So did Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
From the top of Fox.
I mean, someone got to be elected president, but so we're not.
Maybe he'll get fired too.
So two not steps for that, forward, one step backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but we are in a time where. We have some tools and we're using them, which is good. So, what was your favorite? Who wants to go first? Kenan, what was your favorite part about Commando?
I have a favorite part.
Tim, what was your favorite part about Commando? Wait, pause. I just want to mention that both Tim and Kenan are wearing, Army olive shirts, just like Commando wears in the show. Like they dressed up
my, John
for
Matrix outfit.
Yeah, they dressed up for Commando.
Wow, that is terrible green screen.
And I think it's pretty great that you guys did that. All right, Tim, what's your favorite part of this movie?
Oh, the assault on the compound.
Yeah, we're about to get there pretty soon. I think we need to like time it because it goes a while.
He's on a murder spree.
Well, I mean, and he's not trying necessarily.
Yeah, then you have another 20 minutes of them fighting.
It's 20 minutes of John Matrix just killing people.
Yeah.
They land a plane. What? He gets off the plane.
And he starts shooting.
He tells her to call the military at a certain point, like gives her like whatever signals he has. Sets up like the bombs around the compound. And then proceeds to murder everybody in there.
Yeah, but he's like, so he doesn't mind murdering people. And he's definitely like anybody who hurt, like anyone who's involved in this, I'm killing you because I'm pissed. But it didn't seem like he was taking his time to going to getting his daughter. Like he was murdering people to get past them to get to her. Like I didn't get the impression that he was, his first goal was murdering and his second goal was getting her. I still thought his first goal was getting her. But let's stop for a minute.
Could you imagine being the stewardess who finds that dead body on the plane?
I was wondering how long it takes for a body to start stinking.
11 hours is a long time for a dead body.
True. So 1 minute, one hour, 5 minutes in, we get to see Arnold in his Speedo. Nothing else on. I don't know why. Other than it's Arnold in his Speedo.
Other than it's a shirtless Arnold Schwarzenegger in his Speedo.
Shirtless and pants. Yeah, no pants. Just the Speedo. I don't know why they did that other than to show his whole body.
Mm-hmm. It's hot out there.
It was for the ladies.
And she's a little bit smitten by him.
Yeah.
A shirtless Speedo and Arnold.
That's her role. Her role is to be smitten.
This whole scene with him on the rowboat is just to show off his muscles. 100%.
Just like the tree earlier.
Yeah, just like the tree earlier. Just like, look how buff this guy is.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I thought that that the murders that he was doing were secondary to, they were in his way to going and saving his daughter.
They had a purpose.
Yeah, they were like, you're in my, yeah. So it wasn't, I think, I don't, I'm not saying that once he got her, he wasn't going to come out and just kill everybody who was involved, because right. I think he's also about punishment. Yes. But I think, I think that it was really like, I'm shooting this all up because I'm going in to get my daughter. And I'm setting up these buildings so that, you know, people can't come after me while I'm going and getting my daughter.
Right.
But I still don't understand why he has to wear a Speedo.
Yeah, did he need to be in a Speedo to
perform in trunks?
Just like, what's the point of the Speedo? Is it just for him to kayak in? And yes. He doesn't want to be wet?
What now he's going to put clothes on. Yes. Because apparently him rowing in the boat was going to get his clothes too wet.
But he's not wet.
No, he wouldn't be wet. He wasn't swimming. He was rowing in the boat. But he could have totally worn clothes. I've rowed boats and worn clothes. We needed to see Arnold in the Speedo.
And also this Arnold, the
perfect opportunity.
What I love is Arnold, first of all, it's like 1,000 pounds worth of gear. But he does a perfect like 80s montage of like getting his guns and stuff ready.
Yes.
Oh, the war paint.
And the vest and the grenades. And the black. That's a lot of time. That's like 30 minutes. Because he was clearly almost naked. He's fully clothed now. Boots. Gear, guns.
Do you remember I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Yes.
Just like that guy.
Just like that guy who fell and all the guns went off. Just like that guy.
All right, Kendon, have you thought of what your favorite part is?
No, I just...
Or what your favorite thing about the movie is? Well, my favorite is Alyssa Milano as Sam, or as the daughter.
You keep calling her Sam.
I like do. You call her I Sam. Can't wait till we do Who's the Boss. I loved Who's the Boss so much. So... That was my, like, I love seeing her. I didn't know she was in this movie, and it was so much fun. I mean, she doesn't do a whole lot, but it was a nice, like, I guess the nostalgia got me on that. She's right. Like, I know this girl. She was awesome. And
she's not a damsel, like you said. She's not some damsel in distress. She's actively trying to escape.
Okay, so I agreed with you earlier, and yes, she does try to figure out, and she does escape the room. But then, like, the scene where she's underneath and being chased by her dad's battle buddy, and then she kept making noises and being like, Dad? It didn't make sense. And I don't think it was her fault. I think it was editing.
Mm-hmm.
It was filmmaking fault. But it didn't make sense, the noise that she was making when she's being chased by a bad guy.
Right.
And it led to her being a hostage again.
One more time.
And then her dad getting hurt a little bit. But luckily, the guy who she's fighting, or he's fighting, is crazy. So he decides to try to, I don't know.
The use of payphones in this movie is really funny to me.
Yeah, they have to use payphones because they don't have cell phones.
No, the main bad guy has a cell phone. And it's like, when they're on the boat, he has a cell phone. But it's
what
like,
do you mean?
It's that guy, the main bad guy.
Uh-huh.
He has a cell phone when they're on the boat, right down the boat. But he's like, it's one of those ones you have to carry with him.
Are you sure it's a cell phone like or is it a boat phone?
Yeah, it's like a satellite phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, in Overboard, they have a phone on that boat.
Yeah. No, it's not on the boat. He's like they're waiting to get on the boat. He's talking.
Okay.
So well, my favorite part of this movie was the army surplus part. Yes. I mean, first of all, he gets a bulldozer to just push over. He smashes the entire front of the building in.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of like irritated. I was like, if you're like respected at all, wouldn't you just like push in it a little bit?
Yeah.
And so then you can walk in, so they don't have to like completely. Anyways, but I didn't know how much like stuff was in an army surplus store.
It was everything.
Rocket launchers, like
grenades, vest, knives.
Yeah. So they were, but like. Also, if you're going to rob it, like, I thought that you would have had more of a plan than to just then walk in and grab stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, yeah, you're going to get caught. You just pushed that wall in.
Again, which made more noise and probably, yeah.
So it was like, didn't make sense. And then I kind of got distracted a little bit and next time I paid attention, he's like walking out in handcuffs. And I'm like, why are you just letting them take you? Like, you just beat up all those mall cops. Clearly, you don't mind having like civilian casualties here. but you're letting them take you. And I think it's because the people who caught him were had guns. So he can't fight. Like, he's not bulletproof.
Right. Not mall cops.
Not the mall cops. Which is also why I don't like the girl in that. Because
she snitches on him.
She snitches on him. She, like...
She's a snitch.
She gets away and then...
Help that guy! Big guy over there!
And then within minutes, I'm going to go jump back in the car with him. And then complain again.
The guy's like, this is happening to me. He's like flirting with those girls. You want to see me go kick some ass? And he gets roughed up.
Okay. We talked about influences. We talked about favorites. I think I hit everything on my list that I wanted to talk about. Do you guys have anything that you wanted to mention on Commando?
It's a fun Arnold movie.
It is.
If I'm ranking my Arnold films, it's in the top five for me.
It's in the top 10.
For me, for sure.
Just wait, what are our Arnold films? We've got Terminator.
Predator.
True Lies.
Kindergarten Cop. Twins.
This.
Commando.
Eraser.
Eraser's fun, man. It's a fun watch. You haven't watched it in a while?
No,
it's fun. Eraser's a lot of fun. I rewatched it. I was sick last year and I watched it and I was like, I had fun watching that movie. Eraser's good.
Total Recall.
Oh, Total Recall.
There's another underrated, The Sixth Day, an underrated movie with him about cloning.
What's the one with him and like all the old school people?
Expendables.
Oh, wait. It's a guy named Gabriel Byrne. Which is the one where he's, like, 666, or he's fighting Lucifer.
Oh, I want to say the Sixth Seal, but that's not it. Not the Sixth Day. It's called,
So the Sixth Something, while Tim looks it up, Last Action Hero. We're at 12. So when we say top 10, it's not... Basically, you're saying it's not one of your least favorite
No.
Kenan said top 10. Okay. What are our other Schwarzeneggers? And when I say that, I mean, like, again, if you're saying this is one of your favorites or, like, where you're ranking it, it means...
Terminator.
We did that one.
Terminator
that
was 2. One
of
the
first. We're talking characters.
End of Days.
So that's not 12. A great movie. Still, right.
I just realized.
Not a great movie. I enjoyed him in Sabotage.
Okay, 13.
Batman and Robin.
So my point is that if you're going to say, like, name your top 10 Schwarzenegger movies, we just named...
Red Heat.
Okay.
Running Man. Raw Deal.
And are these ones you would have remembered if you weren't looking them up?
No, I mean, he has the big catalog.
Well, of course he does. I'm not saying what is every film that he's in. I'm saying of the ones you can remember, those are the ones you're going to put in your top.
Coney Island would be in my top 10. Raw Deal. The Running Man.
You already said those.
Yeah, those are all in my top 10.
Oh. I don't know. You didn't remember them.
I promise you they're
in my top 10. You had quite some time to list them, and they weren't memorable enough.
Memory's bad right now. He was good though. He was good in all those movies. But again, like if you're talking peak Schwarzenegger, that run from like Conan all the way up through True Lies and stuff, and like Terminator, like that's a run of action. And this is Commando's top of that list of all those movies.
Yep, for you. And then Kenan. So and let's also pause. That's Tim saying top of that, and also I think you said top five Arnold, right? Kenan said top 10, and Kendon did not name more than 10 Arnold films. So, again, I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
All I have to do is name six.
Yeah. There you go, right.
I just know that there's at least five that I
like. There you go, right. It's in the top 10.
Why is she dressed like Chucky?
Overalls were in back then. I want to know why he's wearing leather pants.
He's got the bad guy gear. Leather pants, mesh, chain link. Tank top.
I really think that tank top is made of cloth, you guys.
Is it?
No. Pretty sure. Like crocheted? Gray.
He's wearing like metal basketball color net.
Crochet. I can make that. So this is Kendon's favorite scene. We are in. It is 1 hour, 16 minutes into the show, and he's just this is, am I right? This is the part
that you like? No, this is the most violent part.
Oh, yeah, this is the part that Kenan thinks is the most violent.
It's his Rambo scene. Yeah, he's holding bullets as he's firing them.
I just think it's an issue because this place is so pretty. The roses is what got me. Mm-hmm. It's like a really pretty garden, the estate.
I was thinking, once he gets inside, that he was destroying a lot of stuff that might be, like, nice art.
Yeah.
Something that somebody would really appreciate, and he's just, like, shooting it up.
He doesn't get shot one time.
He's scratched, though. He's bleeding.
He's getting a scratch on his back from an explosion.
Yeah. I'm saying, he's not pristine. Yeah. He's got, and he's sweating.
From all that running. He's carrying, like, 1,000 pounds of
gear. Or maybe he's still a little wet from the... From the boat ride. That's why he needed his bathing suit.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. Is there anything else we wanted to talk about for Commando? Oh, I do have something. I have a question. Just the title in general, Commando. Do we know what the point of that is?
No, I don't know.
He's a commando.
He's a commando, apparently.
What is that?
He commanded
special forces.
And we do that instead of commander?
He's a commando. No.
A commander is like a rank.
Yeah, so what's a commando?
Someone like a type of soldier?
Yeah.
And it's not a Green Beret because what's his face is a Green Beret, and that was like supposed to be the fun part, is watching the commando fight the Green Beret.
Yeah.
All right, so he's a type of soldier, is a commando.
Yeah. Going out special forces, goes out, murders people. Clearly he's a well-oiled killing machine.
And, okay, so there's a chair sitting in the hallway covered in blood. It doesn't quite make sense. Did you see that?
No.
Listeners, pay attention to this. To it and tell me if you think that the chair sitting in the hallway that's covered in blood makes any sense since there's no body in it. I got distracted. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh yeah, commando. Right. So that's what it. So he's a type. Got it. So end of the movie, you have the rest of the military come in and they're too late because we already talked about the line of. All that he left them were bodies, no one else to kill.
All of his bodies.
And the guy, whoever's in charge, who was trying to get him to do this in the first place, and he said no, and then ends up doing it. He's like, I'll see you until next time. And he's just like, there won't be a next time. It's hilarious because it's his daughter who's like, I don't want you to leave and do this anymore. We already knew that, but now he has like his new top chick. And he's like, I mean, he looks at her and he's just like, nope. And I think it's really funny because like they walk. You go through all of that, and they decide that they're going to leave in the seaplane that they stole. Yeah. So they had enough.
That was weird.
Yeah, they had enough gas, and she would. And then like Samantha, I'm calling her Samantha now. Instead of Sam.
Go ahead.
You made fun of Sam, so I'm calling her Samantha. Like they like connect and like hold hands or something, and I'm like, you don't know her.
You don't know her.
Like I know that she would be happy that you're okay, but you don't know who this woman is.
Yeah.
And the reaction is like, hi, new mom. Like it's like a. Hey, like it didn't make sense.
It does not make sense.
Mm-hmm. It's all kind of tied up kind of neatly, though.
Yeah. New mom.
Yep, new mom. I'm sure she likes feeding deer.
I was going to say, does she want to live out in the woods?
I know. She seemed like a city girl, but, you know, she's going to be a pilot out in the woods.
I mean, maybe they were just on vacation. We don't know how long, like how much time was spanning during the... montage, do we?
No.
It was all, it was nothing, there was no snow scenes. So we didn't go through any like full seasons.
It was like a week or two.
Yeah. Maybe they're just like vacation out in, maybe they don't live out in the woods.
He gets shot. I forgot he gets shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets shot and he gets some, he is injured and it was really hard to watch. Like I can't imagine someone hurting my parent. Or there's a lot of people I couldn't imagine, but like just this experience watching it would be really difficult for me.
I would have ripped the porn stash off his face. Good guy.
But yeah, watch. This is the part where they square off.
It's like a
we've got 10 minutes left. This guy is gonna say, I can beat you, like I've just shot you, and now I can beat you without my gun, I can beat you without my it doesn't make sense. And it also
because he's like a Green Beret, he thinks he's above him and I can destroy you. I don't need these tools. I can just murder you without any of this. He like, and part of it is Matrix trying to like appeal to his vanity, right? Because you know he has the upper hand. But if I can appeal to him, then I'm the better soldier. Maybe he'll meet me without any weapons.
I appreciate that. So it was less this guy is just stupid and more Matrix
getting in his head,
convinced him and got him to.
Because clearly it's a personal thing with him, right? He would have murdered him for free. he talks to him like, man, I don't need any of this stuff. I can just kill you.
Okay. That makes me feel a lot better about it, because he throws his gun away. Why would you come charging at Arnold Schwarzenegger right now? And it's because Arnold Schwarzenegger outsmarted you.
He baited you into like doing something you probably shouldn't do.
Okay, so are either of you a fan of the show Survivor?
No,
never watched it. Are you familiar with how it works?
Yes.
So they take a bunch of people, put them out, and they're, you have to outplay, outwit, outlast.
Yes.
Who do you think could outplay, outwit, outlast Commando? John Matrix.
In this movie?
No, in the rules of Survivors. You can't kill people, but you like have to outsmart them. You have to be really good at physical tasks. You have to be able to swim really well.
Nobody.
You have to be smarter than others in terms of like making allies and finding idols.
No. I think he's such a strong candidate they would vote him off. He's too strong. He's such a strong candidate. Other people on the island would get together in their little groups and try to get him off the island, because he would win all the physical challenges. He could outlast him. Yeah. So there's no way.
I'd go with John Wick.
John Wick. You can't use your guns. I have some friends who play in a pool, a Survivor pool, and they pick every year, you know, they're one person that's going to make it to the end. Mm-hmm. And this year, one of my friends, she let her kids pick who the person was going to be, and they picked Ben in this current season. And the reason they picked him is because he loves his kid. Oh. Like, I've only watched a couple episodes. He is some type of armed forces veteran or... Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably a vet. I don't think he's like off, obviously on active duty, because then he wouldn't be able to go on to Survivor. But maybe he's on break.
Right. Yeah, maybe that could be it. Yeah.
But anyway, so it's funny because I'm like, they would totally pick him. Like, Commando has that and also is just amazing. I'm not saying Ben on Survivor now isn't amazing. Yeah. And don't worry if you're a Survivor fan. This is not a spoiler. I have no idea if he's on it or not. I have not really watched the season. I just know that he is one of the people in week one. So anyway, I think it's kind of funny because I think the girls, my friends, kids would have picked Commando for this because he clearly loves his daughter and he's a good candidate. But you're right. Like, they would totally, as soon as they had a chance, and it wouldn't even be like the weaker people. It would be like the macho guys who can't quite match up that they're like, okay, get him out so that I can be that guy. Mm. They do. They pick on the strong guys sometimes. Yeah. But the thing is that you can't, so you only get to vote people off if your team loses. So as long as, like, for the first few weeks, you're like in separate tribes, and as long as you win the challenges, you don't vote anyone out.
Okay.
So like his team, assuming he's that great, his team is not going to have any tribal councils until probably the merge. And that's when you start to like, then decide. By then, like, Commando seems like the kind of guy who would have made a lot of friends. And
still gotta vote him out.
I don't know. Or like there have been times where they have immunity idols like all the way through. Yeah. Like, they just keep winning them. Like, Ozzy is one of the players who like is just amazing, and he will have idol every week. And like, as soon as he loses the individual immunity challenge, that's when he gets voted out. But I don't know if Commando would lose. I think he could just win the whole way through. Anyway, this is not a Survivor podcast.
No, but it's a good idea. Like,
but I think you could run one.
I'd rather just go be in it. It's so fun. There's so much fun. There's like challenges and
the
puzzles.
Food stuff would be, I couldn't do the food stuff. I couldn't do that.
No, well, I don't eat meat, so like if they could like respect that, I would do it. But like
he said, respect the fact you don't eat meat.
There's certain things where it's like you can pick these things that you won't do.
Just like, do you have more berries?
I won't. Yeah, I will not participate in the death of an animal, including eating one.
Okay.
It will be one of my rules. Okay, so that is Commando. I appreciate that it ends on the beach. It's very sunny and nice. It's probably, like I said, the explosions were probably fun, but the rest of it seems like it was probably pretty fun to make too. I'd be very curious about what the actors and filmmakers say. I'm sure they've talked about how it was to make it, and it would be interesting to hear. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger pleasant to film with?
I have no idea.
Do we know?
I don't know. We'll find out soon.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Next week, do we know what we're going to talk about next week yet? No.
No, we don't.
We do Teen Wolf.
I'd love to do Teen Wolf.
We'll do Teen Wolf, yeah.
Let's do Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf it is. Teen Wolf next week.
Yes. Okay.
Teen Wolf.
Next. So I can't wait. Just watch it. Okay. Until then, if you're enjoying the podcast, please give us reviews and let others know how much you like us. If you have feedback for us, send it to us at our email address at mit80s.podcast@gmail.com. And have a good week. Bye.